Matthew chapter number 7, verses 13 and 14. We'll take that as our text this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for Sundays. Lord, what a special, special place they hold. This day holds every week in the heart of your children. And Lord, thank you that you saw fit to speak into existence the local New Testament church. Lord, this is not man's idea. This is God's plan. And Lord, thank you, dear Lord, for the mission that you've given us, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But Lord, also the benefit of the assembly to each and every one of us, Lord. I pray, dear God, people would leave blessed and challenged and encouraged, dear God, today. Thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy before church, after church. Thank you for the young people, Lord, that flood through the doors every single week. Lord, so many blessings come to those who just are willing to assemble. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, for those of our church family that are sick and they're unable to be here today, Lord, that you would come in their midst, Lord, and just bring a little bit of the spirit of this place into their hearts. Lord, we ask your blessing on the preaching of the Bible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you very much. Good. Good. Well, folks, this is November, and I decided Friday that this was my favorite month of all of the year. And I was mistaken for about 31 days thinking it was October, and fully convinced of it. And I mean, fully convinced of it. And then November 1st came, and all of a sudden I said to myself, what was I thinking? You know, November's my favorite month of the year. I do love it. I do love it. I love every month. I love every season. I love every event at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, if you want to sit around, you know, with a sourpuss expression and a bad heart, then go ahead and do it. But you're missing out on so many things around you. And listen, November ought to do something in our hearts. There's something about Thanksgiving month. Come on, isn't that the big event on the calendar this month? And every year, and I haven't tried to project this, if you do it, you do it. I have shared with you the joy that it brings me. But every November, I begin to ask the Lord to reveal something to me that I have never thanked God for. And you'd think after all of these years, you know what? I wouldn't have anything left. But every single year, God shows me. I pray it every morning. I ask God to show it to me. And sooner or later, there'll be something where I'm like, are you kidding me? I've lived all these years, and I've never verbally expressed my appreciation to God for this certain thing. And by the way, if you'll do that, it'll be fun for you. And he might, listen, just prepare yourself. He might give you two. Or he might even show you three or four, and that's all good. And so that's the Thanksgiving month challenge. You say, preacher, what has he showed you this month? He hasn't yet. You pray for me, okay? But he always does. But, you know, there was one thing, and I'm going to tell you that I've thanked the Lord for this before, but there's one thing that's just settled into my heart so strong in the last 7 days, and I wanted to share it with you. This is the name of the message, Thank God for the Few. Thank God for the few. Think about that. God settled some things in my heart and in my mind this week. And folks, let me just say something. We're going to look at the word many. By the way, you've seen it in this verse here. The Bible says at the end of verse 13 that many there be which go in thereat. Go where? That broad way, that wide gate, the destruction path. But verse 14 says this, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, let me give you a couple of truths about many versus few, okay? All right, this is deep stuff. You better get your pen ready, okay? There's more in the many group than there is in the few group, okay? I knew you. Aren't you glad you came today? All right. All right. If you had a little greater than symbol, okay, many would be on this side. Remember, it always eats the biggest thing. All right. And few would be on this side. All right. And folks, now think about that. Many is a lot and few is a little. And many is much more than few. Let me give you another truth. Because of that, many a lot of times gets more attention than the few. Many gets more attention than the few. And we're going to talk about the few, not just the few here. We're talking about salvation, this portion of scripture, but it goes beyond that. Come on. We're going to look at three different times that Jesus uses the word few in the Gospels, talking about a small group compared to most people. And I felt like this week, God got me somewhat on the victory side on some things. Because, folks, I'll be honest with you, it is so much easier to focus on the many than it is the few. It's so easier to notice the many and overlook the few. If you're not careful, you get so upset at the many who aren't, and that can rob you of your thankfulness for the few that are. And there's some things that Jesus told us ahead of time that I think help us to stay sane in the ministry. All right. I mean, it's not like we don't know these things. If we're disciples of Christ, then we should be very familiar with his words and what he's told us. And everything he told us was in preparation for us to help us to stay faithful to him and to do the right things and to not lose the joy of serving the Lord. And so I settled some things in my heart and mind this week. I said, Lord, I'm spending way too much time thinking about the many and way too little time thanking God for the few. And so this morning I'm going to help myself and hopefully help you while I'm helping me and give you some things to think about. Now, folks, these are Bible facts. Watch this. Only a few of all mankind will be saved. And I think it's healthy that we say that. By the way, I wish it wasn't true. I really wish I could go to every young man that surrenders to the gospel. And I wish I could go to that young preacher and say, hey, I got good news. Let me tell you something. Most of the people you preach to that's lost is going to get saved. I wish I could tell him that, but that wouldn't be true. I wish I could go to a bus captain's Blessed Hope, have a bus captain meeting. Say, I just want to let you know this. Get out there and invite, because most of the people you invite to church are going to ride the bus. I could have that meeting and I could tell them that, but it wouldn't be true. And, I could say to the entire congregation, folks, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I got a special dispensation. And this month, you know what? 80% of the people that we give a gospel tract to are going to come to Christ. Let's get them out there. I could tell you that, but it wouldn't line up with Scripture. And the honest truth is, one of the things that helps keep us sane in ministry, I don't have to like it. I wish it was different. I wish it wasn't so. But when Jesus said that there are going to be many that choose the wide gate and many that choose the broad way and many that end up in destruction, listen, he meant it. He was training his disciples. He was getting them ready for real life ministry. And you know, bus captains, listen, you know, you have to kind of go into it with that mentality or you will get discouraged. Sunday school teachers, I wish I could tell you that, you know what, most of the young people that you're teaching in your class 10, 15 years from now are going to be faithfully serving God, but that wouldn't be true. It wouldn't be true. And Jesus told us it wasn't going to be true. And so, preacher, then why are we wasting our time? Listen, the few make it worth it. The few make it worth it. Preacher, why? All these years of preaching the gospel and all of the people that have come and heard the gospel and the many, the most of them that walked away, why do you keep doing it? Because of a few. Because of a few. And the few make it worth it. The few make it worth it. One of the realities of ministry that you need to embrace in order to keep your sanity is this. I'm going to say it again. Most people you share the gospel with will not get saved. But look right up here. A few will. A few will. Most people you give a tract to will not even read it. But a few will. But a few will. Most people you invite to church will not come. But a few will. but a few will. Most who do come and hear the gospel will not walk the aisle and receive Christ. Most won't, but a few will. A few will. A few will. And so, you know what? Let's just keep doing it. Let's just keep doing it. I think maybe it's good for us all to just be reminded of this. Never forget the value of one soul. The value of one soul. The value of one soul. You know, Brother Max came to me before the youth revival, and him and the teens got so involved in this and so put their heart into it. I mean, our young ladies did, our young men did. I'm just the whole group. But you could tell he was nervous before, and he kind of came to me and he said, "Preacher, you know, we just prayed, and we're praying that so many people would come and get saved." By the way, you know what? We got a prayer request this morning. Young man, high school age, are you listening to me? Say, "Preacher, why do we do these things?" Because you know what? They need to hear the gospel. Okay. And everybody needs to hear the gospel. Everybody needs to get an invite. Everybody needs to have a chance to be saved. We don't know. Come on. We don't know what tomorrow holds. It's appointed. It's appointed on the man to die. Then comes the judgment. By the way, young people, if you're here without Christ, you need to walk through the cemeteries. You need to look at some of the dates on the headstones. Hey, it's not just old people that are buried in cemeteries. And listen, don't put off this matter of salvation. Think about that. But let's never forget the value of one soul. Preacher, we work hard around here. I know we do. And we get the gospel to a lot of people. I know. Thank God we do. You know what? We're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Come on, Operation Occupation, folks. You know, you knock on a lot of doors. You hang a lot of packets. Preacher, are you sure? Are you sure? Listen, folks, most won't even read them. Come on, I'm being honest with you. Most will rip it off the door and throw it in the trash can. Most of them may take a curious glance and then, you know, never give it another thought. And folks, that's the many. That's the most. But you know what? God says, don't worry about that. You just do what I've asked you to do. You just trust me because there's a few. Come on, there's a few out there that are going to accept that invitation, that are going to read that gospel tract, that are going to receive Jesus Christ. We may know about it down here, and we may find out about it in heaven. I told you this, I think a year ago, I went down to Commonwealth Baptist College, and you know what? I went there to preach chapel for 2 days, and I'm in the little foyer area outside the chapel, and a young lady comes. And she's a senior there at Bible College, and she's got an engagement ring on. You know, that happens sometimes when people go to Bible College. They get something called an engagement ring. And then she came to me and said, "Pastor Jerry Ross, you don't know me, but," she said, "I wanted to thank you for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I want to thank you for the bus ministry there." And I looked at her, and I thought, how do I not know you, and why are you thanking me for our bus ministry? And she said, "You know what, me and my mom, just for a very short time, for a couple months, we moved to Shelburne, Indiana. And you know what? Somebody knocked on our door." Come on, I'm talking about the few folks. Somebody knocked on our door, and I rode the bus. I just rode the bus for about 2 months, and then my mom up and moved, and we went to a different area outside of where your bus ministry was. But she said, "The third Sunday that I came, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior." You know, folks, heaven's going to be filled with those kind of stories. Say, "Preacher, what are you doing?" I'm saying, listen, we've got a church that's worked awful hard. And you know, we have seen, really, I was sharing it with our adult class folks. We saw extraordinary things happened during our fall program, both in first-time visitors and souls saved. And I mean, we had almost over 120 first-time visitors in 6 weeks, and over 50 people received Christ. Listen, folks, this isn't Chicago. This isn't Indianapolis. This is about as close to Nowhereville, Indiana, as you can find, okay? And I'm just telling you, listen, you know what? We put in a lot of time, and we put in a lot of work, and we put in a lot of prayer. And look right up here. A lot of us financially sacrifice extra so these things could happen. Time, labor, treasure. This is what we do. And you say, "Well, preacher, we got to see some results." I know, folks, but look right up here. If at the end of all of that, same time, same effort, same treasure, if I got up and said one person got saved, it would still be worth it. Let's not forget the value of one soul. By the way, let's not forget the potential of one soul. See, preacher, I know that in theory, that if one person got saved, it's worth, I know that in theory, but all that effort and all that time. Now, folks, what we forget sometimes is not just the one soul, but the potential of that one soul. Think about that. One little bus girl, 3 weeks in a row, rode. Somebody drove that bus in Shelburne. Somebody knocked on that door and found that kid. Okay. And now she's launching out in the ministry, marrying a preacher. Come on now. Think about that. I want to read you a parable here that Jesus gave us. You're very familiar with it. Matter of fact, you're right there if you'd like to turn to it. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 18. Matthew 13, verse number 18. The Bible says this, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower," Matthew 13, 18. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and casteth into the way that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." But you say, "Preacher, that's an awful lot of seed that didn't produce any kind of a harvest." Oh, but wait a minute, we're not done. "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also," watch this, talk about the potential, "which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. You say, here's the thing, folks. Well, preacher, you know, it just seems like a few get saved. Didn't Jesus say that's the way it was going to be? All right, then we need to be ready for that. We need to have our hearts and our minds in the right place on this. Can we even measure the value of one soul? No. Come on. I mean, I believe if one person was here on earth, Jesus Christ would have come and died for that one person. If you were the only one, he would have come and died for you. That makes it pretty important. That makes it pretty precious. But wait a minute. Sometimes we say, "Well, preacher, you know what? We've just had one person saved in the last, 6 weeks on our bus route. Preacher, I've just seen one person saved in the last 6 months." Well, folks, that's one. But that doesn't mean that's the only one that's going to be produced from that one. Did you get that? He said this, "But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit." Which also beareth fruit. And so you just don't know. I've got a picture up here, and this is, I think, one of the few pictures that we have in our family of Pastor Elmer Evans and his sweet wife, Mrs. Evans, pastored at the Rock Run Baptist Church in the late 1960s. And folks, little country church. I mean, you think we're in the middle of nowhere? We're in high cotton compared to where they are, okay? You talk about in the middle of nowhere. Nothing's more fun than me driving from the homestead to the Rock Run Baptist Church. I think it's one of the most enjoyable drives I ever take. We've gone back and forth there hundreds of times going to church. This is the church where my dad heard the gospel and got saved. This is the church where my mom heard the gospel and got saved. And probably, you know, honestly, best I can remember, pretty small congregation, you know, 20, 25 people. And here's a man just, you know what, a pig farmer for 6 days, had one suit, put it on Sunday, and went down to Little Rock Run Baptist Church and preached the gospel. And you know what, folks? Wasn't there for a long, long time. American Baptist Church, you know, the one thing they're good at is business meetings. And one thing they're good at is chewing up preachers and spitting them out and getting the next one so they can chew them up and spit them out. Come on now. And didn't stay there very long. And you know what? Don't know. I couldn't tell you. Don't know how many people got saved in the stretch that he was there. I'm going to tell you this. I don't think it was many. Honestly, I don't think it was many. But you know what? One of them was Robert Ross. One of them was Robert Ross. And I think when my dad on that fifth night of the revival meeting dropped his songbook and walked forward and got saved, I don't know what the church's reaction was. I'm sure if they were truly saved people, they were happy about it. Of course they would have been, you know. I mean, come on. If you're saved, you're happy about it. And but at the same time, you know, I'm trying to think of what Dad would have looked like, what Mom would have looked like. But you know what? A few weeks later, Mom pulls the car over the side of the road under conviction and bows her head and receives Christ. They both get baptized down at the Walnut. Come on, a branch off the Walnut River there. And then each of us, Lori and Bob, and me and David, all get saved. And what if the whole time he was there, he just had that one family? Well, my goodness sakes. You know what? That seed did find some good ground. You know, Pastor Evans, I'm sure a lot of it fell on the hard soil. And all you did was watch ravens come by and pluck it and pick it up, and it didn't seem to change anything. And then there's some that it just springs forward with a little life, but you know, there's the thorns and the cares and the deceitfulness of riches and all the things that pull people out of the will of God and keep them from bearing fruit, you know. And those rocks, come on, those character flaws that, come on, parents, get the rocks out of the soil, okay? Get the rocks out of the soil. Get the rocks out of the soil. So many young couples nowadays just raised with so little character. And you know what? When you get saved, it doesn't mean that you all of a sudden get the character that you should have. And we used to see people saved and they started at zero and then we'd take them up. Now you get somebody saved, you start at minus 5,000 and it takes you 3 years to get them to zero. I'm not kidding you. This is the society we live in. But he watched all that too. He watched all that too. But here he is. I'm holding him. Holding a picture of him. And you know what? That lady right there. I mean, how many times did she go back there and wrestle around, try to keep the attention of a bunch of little kids? And how many times she'd go home thinking, I don't think anybody heard anything. Are you listening to me? A children worker. Come on, Sunday school teacher. Some of you say, preacher, that's my testimony this morning, right now. I don't know if anything was done in my Sunday. I don't know if anybody heard anything. They all came in pumped up with Halloween candy. Are you kidding me? And we're trying to wrestle with them and keep their attention. And right now, they're probably tying up Brother Young out there. He's probably got him tied up. And Mrs. Young's probably in a corner with her crutch fighting off a bunch of them. And I don't know what's going on. But all I know is this. There was a day that lady right there held a little book in her hand and told a story about two Chinese brothers. And one of them was a Christian and one of them wasn't. You've heard me tell this story so many times. And one of them went the way of the devil and one of them went hard towards God. And one of them got into criminal activity and one of them got into church. And then, you know what, there was a day that the unsaved twin Chinese brother committed murder, runs in the house. Man, I'm a little boy there. I'm all in on this story listening. And he runs in the house. He's got blood all over his shirt. You can hear the sirens coming. And he takes off the shirt and throws it out, grabs a clean shirt, runs out the door. And here's the saved brother trying to get an answer. What's going on? Finally figures it out. He must have committed murder. They're after him. They're going to put him in the electric chair. They're going to hang him. They're going to do something. And so this saved boy doesn't want to see his brother go to hell. Come on, folks. We need to do something about the lost. We need to do something about the lost. Okay? Getting lost people to Christ is more important than your little silly, casual, carnal view of life. Come on now. And so he picks up that shirt with blood on it, puts it on, stands out in the front yard like that. They execute him that night. By the way, this isn't the United States of America. This is China. Okay? They feel like they got you dead to rights. They just take care of business. And I'm sitting there. And then she talks about that unsaved brother. Here's the story several days later. Comes to the police station. You killed the wrong man. He was innocent. I'm guilty. And they threw him out the door and said, that crime's already been paid for. It's already been paid for. And all of a sudden, a little light comes on. And all of a sudden, Jerry Ross, for the first time, understands that that's what Jesus did for me. She turned the page of that book and there was a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. And folks, you know, they talk about the light of the glorious gospel shining in. So that's a wonderful moment. There was a lot, by the way, Sunday school teachers, there was a lot of Sunday school lessons taught before that light came on. Come on, Pastor Evans, there was a lot of sermons where a little wiggling boy sitting there back there by his dad and didn't seem to be getting any of it, but from time to time, when you talked about hell, I'd stop and I'd listen. Folks, what are you saying? I'm saying, listen, I get it. I get it. Most of them won't. But I'm sure glad, I think you're all sitting here today at Blessed Baptist Church, sure glad that one of them did. Amen. You know what? Bob Ross did. And you know what? I think his life went on to produce some fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30. You say, how much? Well, let's let God decide all that at the judgment seat. He'll figure all that out. You know what, folks? But it produced some fruit. There's a lot of people in here that said, preacher, you know what? This is the place I found Christ. This is the church that God used to bring me to Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's part of your dad and his ministry and starting a church 1973. Are you getting this, folks? I know we've been busy. But you know what? It's November. And yeah, we've kind of cleared the calendar. I want you to have time. Man, people trying to get crops in and winterize their homes. And you know, then there's the sacred holy rite of deer hunting that needs to be done so that we don't starve. I've saved our family thousands. And okay, I'm going to get struck by lightning right now. Probably millions of dollars we've saved our family by providing meat the old-fashioned way. And I want to thank Brother Josh and other farmers that fatten up this venison for me. I mean, the layer of fat on them things are amazing. Thank you so much. And I get it. I get it. Thank you, church. I want to say this. Thank you. Thank you for putting in the time. And thank you for all the effort. And thank you for going the extra mile. And thank you for coming up with the crazy food truck designs and you know, how much did I labor in that? It was hard to walk from food truck to food truck and sample all the food. And, you know, I mean, maybe the greatest sacrifice was Tony running around in an inflatable cow suit. Again, we'll let the judgment seat decide some things. I don't even know if God was within 100 miles of that. But anyway, preacher, what are we doing here? Why are we doing it for the few? For the few? Because one of them crazy little kids that wiggle around and you have trouble listening to and you don't think's getting it. Well, that used to be Jerry Ross. All right, that used to be my sister Lori. That used to be Bob and David. And hey, I'm glad somebody said it's worth doing it for the few. It's worth doing it for the few. All right, so number one, you say that's number one. Oh, the next two are so quick. Number two, let's go to Luke chapter 10, folks. Luke chapter 10. Number two. Well, number one, only a few of all mankind will be saved. Number two, only a few of the saved will become laborers. And these are realities that, again, we have to understand. I wish number one wasn't true. I wish the majority of people that got saved, that heard the gospel, would get saved. I wish I could stand up and announce that. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but that would be so much more encouraging to serve the Lord if I just figured out that every 10 people I witness to, you know what, 7 of them's getting saved. Man alive, I think that would help me. But it's just not the way it's going to be. And Jesus told us it wasn't going to be that way. So Luke chapter 10, verse number 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Therefore, he said unto them. Now listen, it's Jesus. He's instructing. He's getting them ready. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are, what's the next word? The labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labors into his harvest. Now, I went back and did a little research on this, and I think I'm pretty accurate. But the population of the world when Jesus was commissioning these men was 300 million people. That's the entire population of the world, okay? By the way, Jesus came to die for every one of them, and he wanted the gospel to be carried to every one of them. He was sending, this is the first evangelistic effort. I'm not talking about Book of Acts yet. Folks, that's going to come. Okay, Acts chapter 1 and 2 is coming. The Great Commission is going to be given after the resurrection. But this is the first time in an organized fashion, Jesus takes 70 men, breaks them into twos. So how many groups are there? 35 groups of two men each. And this is the very first time he equips them to go out and to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to prepare, to go before him and prepare the towns and cities for Jesus to come and preach the gospel. Now think about that. I can't wait to meet these 70 men. I think we know who 12 of them were, okay? But outside of that, I don't know who they are. But man alive, I got to thinking about that. You know, he's sending 70 men to launch the first effort to take the message of the gospel to the masses. 70 men. By the way, can I say this? Just a few. You compare that to 300 million. I would say we're talking few versus many here, okay? Compared to the harvest, the labors were few. What an understatement. Yes, Lord, what an understatement. 70 compared to 300 million. But I want to say this, folks. I wish I'd have been there. I wish I'd have been there. I don't know who these 70 men were, but man, wouldn't it be great to have been a part of that? Jesus says, I need some help. We're going to do something. And this is radical. You know, we're so used to it. We've heard this teaching so much. But you know, all of a sudden he's gathered 70 men that he's discipled to a point where he feels like he can pair them up and send them out and start having an impact on the world for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it have been fun to be a part of that? Think about that. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't know. I hope it would be true. If at that time I was a follower of Christ, I think I kind of know my personality a little bit. I think I do. I think I knew, remember back of how I felt even as a young man. And I think if this opportunity had been given Brother Nichols, I think I'd have just, man, I'd have been begging to be a part of this. I'd have wanted to be a part of this. But you know what, folks? That wasn't my generation. That wasn't my time. God didn't have me there at that moment, but he's got me here at this moment. And you know, some things just don't change. You know, some things just don't change. You know, guess what? Population of the world is not 300 million anymore. All right, when we're talking about 7+ billion, we sure have, things have changed. Come on. But in some ways, things are the same. Things have changed. There's many, many that need salvation, but some things remain the same. You know what? Just like it was then, so is it now. And we still need it. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I want to kind of challenge you young people a little bit. We're going to have senior saints meal here. We are. We're going to get out pretty soon. And we're going to go over there and we're going to eat. And I was so thankful as I was praying over our senior saints. And I want you senior saints to hear something, hear your preacher say something. You know what? I see you, and I remember, and I know the investment that you've made in this ministry, and I know the investments you've made in the bus ministry and the Sunday school department and the children's ministries and you know, the young people, you need to hear a preacher say this every once in a while. And whatever you're doing right now, somebody did it before you, and they did it for a long time before you. Right. Okay, and you know, I don't want them to think I forgot that. But man, I want to say to our young people, man, jump in. Jump in. Come on. This whole idea of, you know, you haven't been out of high school, but, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years and you're just become a pew bump already. All that youthful energy, all that training, all that potential, and you're just sitting on it. Come on, come on, jump in, jump in, jump in. You got to have something inside you that just says, hey, man, it's time for me to make a splash. Okay, Don Mary's not cannonballing anymore, okay, all right? Time for some of you young people to make a splash, you know. And so, you know, I wasn't there. It wasn't my time. That wasn't my generation, but this one is. 40 years ago, I said, I'm going to jump in on this thing. 40 years ago, I signed up. 40 years ago, over that now, I decided it's time for me to go soul winning. It's time for me to start knocking on doors. Time for me to start making an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you, I wish I could say to our church, listen, most of the young people that we reach for Christ are going to go forward and be laborers in the harvest. But it wouldn't be true. But why don't you decide to be part of the few? Why don't you decide to be the exception to the rule? Think about that. Years ago, as a young person in my teens, I joined the fraternity of the few. Jesus told us the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Okay, well, then I guess I can hide behind that as an excuse, or I can say I'll be one of the few. I'll be one of the few. I decided this month I'm going to focus on the few. By the way, I want to say it right now. I'm going to be thankful for the few. I see you. I see you. I'm thankful for you. There should always be more who labor. But again, the many gets too much attention. This month, let's put the spotlight on the few. Amen. Anybody can sit and quit. Anybody can do nothing. Requires no character, no effort whatsoever. Anybody can be carnal and casual. Anybody can just lose their compassion and not give a hoot about anybody but themselves. That's the many. But you know what? There's a few. There's a few that still says, you know what, this thing's worth doing. So I'm going to focus on the few. I'm going to be thankful for the few. There should always be more who labor, but you know what? Let's not focus this month on those who shirk the work of God. Let's be thankful for those who work the work of God. Now, I just want to kind of help some of you that are part of the few. Don't get discouraged that there aren't more. I wish there was. But I'm telling you what Jesus said. He said the harvest is great, the laborers are few. Most won't knock doors, but a few will. Why don't you be part of the few? Most won't make the sacrifice to help in the bus ministry, but a few will. So let's be thankful for the few. Most won't show up on a work day, but a few will. Most won't pass out a tract this week, but a few will. Most won't sign up to provide food for special days, but a few will. Most won't clean a toilet or mop a floor or run a vacuum to make sure God's house looks amazing, but thank God there's still a few that care about those kind of things. You know, think about this, folks. The work, come on, we're talking about labors. The work of God, boy, this is profound. You're learning so much. The work of God is work. It's work. It's work. And that's what the Bible teaches us. Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Paul, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So you know what? Barnabas and Saul, they rolled up their sleeves and went to work. How about my dad's life verse? "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I'm going to tell you, that man and his generation, come on, that generation of Blessed Oak Baptist Church, they were workers. 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 They weren't looking for an excuse to do less. They were looking for an opportunity to do more. How about this? Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. 2 Timothy 4:5, "But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist." The work of an evangelist. You know, evangelism is work. Taking the gospel out is work, work. And most folks are going to opt out. They're not going to do it. But you know what? Be a part of the few. Be a part of the few. I want to thank the Lord this morning for the few. I always want to be a part of the few. Sign me up. Sign me up. Hey, where do you get that? Well, there's this couple that I knew, just casually knew them, Bob and Donna Ross. And they got saved at the Rock Run Baptist Church. And after they got saved, preacher get up and he'd say, "We need somebody to haul the teenagers over to the nursing home." And guess what? Mom and Dad look at each other, look around. Nobody's volunteering. They just went like this. And we need somebody to clean the church. And their hands would go up. And we need somebody to take care of the yard. And next thing you know, they're They're over there a lot at the church doing the work, doing the work, doing the work. By the way, I need to say this. Thank every single one of you men that signed up for the mowing crew. This church has looked amazing all summer long. Amazing all summer long. You know what that took? Work. 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 And so, you know what? An older person in the church, been saved a while, came to, you've heard me tell this story, what, about 5,000 times, and came to them and said, you keep volunteering for everything. You keep volunteering for everything. One of these days you're going to learn. One of these days you're going to learn. Well, they never did learn. They never did learn. They just kept going like this. Hey, you know what? You get to be involved in a lot of really cool things if you'll just go like this. You'll just show up. If you'll just be a part, it's just amazing the opportunities God will give you. It's amazing the blessings you receive. It's amazing the ways that you'll grow in the Lord. Listen, but you got to decide to be a part of the few. Thank God for the few. I have no idea how many people got saved in the years that Bo Eichelman was bus captain over here. But folks, listen to me. There was a few. There was a few. And there's a few of those that not only got saved, but you know what? They're serving God full time in the ministry right now. And I get to call them names. I get in trouble. I can't even tell you, folks. I mean this. I can't even tell you as a young man growing up around here in the early days of the church. I can tell you this as assistant pastor for 11 years here. I can't even begin to tell you the number of hours that men like Charles English have put into this church. Coming over here after working all day long, fixing this, rewiring this, painting this, working on this project, working on that project. By the way, he didn't pull a salary. But he showed up on, I mean, you could just count on driving by here and seeing Charles' van most evenings on the way home from work, stopping and doing something. Never heard him complain about it. Never heard him whine about other people that wasn't showing up. You know what? He did what he could. He did what he could. And he just did it. And again, I start calling names. I could call so many. I want to say this. I talk about the men a lot of times. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I could stand up here and tell you hours of stories of the faithful women that have come through the years and labored in this church. Labored in this church. Hey, you young ladies, look right up here. You know, you do what you want to. But these senior saints that you had an opportunity to provide some food for, I promise you this, 10, 15, 20 years ago, they would have signed up. They would have signed up. I couldn't even tell you. I can't even imagine Jean Mowry and the amount of meals that woman has provided for special guests or the amount of food that she's carted in and her generation and people like her. Come on, Bonnie Scales sitting back there. And again, I was thinking of Bill Neal this week. And when he was teaching here in the school, Sister Connie, and he'd come in early and he'd stay late. And he'd come over here on Saturdays. And you know what it's called? It's called the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry. I don't know. Everybody's got to make their decision. But when Jesus gave me a chance to get saved, you know what I said? I want to be part of the few. When he gave me an opportunity to serve, well, I just want to be a part of that. I can't do what some people can do, but I can do what I can do. And so we have that. Now turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Only a few of all mankind will be saved. Only a few of the saved will become laborers. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus uses the word again. I'll just read the 23rd verse, I think. Matthew chapter 25. I won't read the entire parable. Let me go over there, make sure I got the right verse down here. Matthew chapter 25, look if you will in verse number 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a what? Faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, folks, here's the progression. Watch this. Only a few people that have the opportunity to get saved will accept Christ as their Savior. Only a few of those that get saved will become laborers. Only a few of the laborers will remain faithful. Only a few of the laborers will remain faithful. Now think about that. Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Well, we have an epidemic of most men proclaiming everyone his own goodness. But I want to ask you a question. Are you still faithful? Are you still faithful? Proverbs 28, 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. When Paul got to the end of his life, he was able to say this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now this is the goal. This is the goal. All you young people, you listen to me, this is the goal. Have you been given an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior? Did you take that opportunity? Well, you're one of the few. Okay, now that you're saved, God has a work that he wants you to do for him. Are you willing to be a laborer for the Lord? If you choose to do that, and that's a choice, then you become one of the few. Now, wait a minute. You start that when you're in your teenage years and seventh graders. We get them and we get them into the youth group and we say, did you enjoy the last 10, 11 years of sitting and listening? Because now it's time to go to work, and we start working them around here. We don't even check the child labor laws. We just start working them. We want them busy for the Lord. We want them growing up serving God. And so they are trained to do that. And they do that. By the way, young people, that's fantastic. Thank you for having a heart and wanting to do it. But wait a minute. You still going to be doing it when you're 20? You going to still be doing it when you're 25? You going to still be... Listen, do you really love Jesus, or do you really just love the world? Come on, have you already decided, no matter what happens, I'm going to be a part of the few, preacher. I'm going to be a part of the few that get saved. I'm going to be a part of the few that decides I'm going to work for the Lord. I'm going to be a part of the few that is going to be able to stand before God one of these days and say, and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over, and by the way, I like that little phrase, that helps off all of us. Thou's been faithful over a few things. There's not any of us that can do all of it, but all of us can do a part of it. And aren't you glad God can put that thing together and make a ministry like this work? But it takes people that just say, I'm going to stick with this, and I'm going to be a part of the few. I'm going to be a part of the few. Preacher, but you don't understand this and this and this. Listen to me. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up. Though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. When you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight. When you're hardest hit, it's when things seem worst that you must not quit. So this is going to be the theme in my personal life for the month of November. Thank God for the few. Thank God for the few that do get saved. Thank God for the few that have enlisted and said, I'm going to labor in the ministry, in the work of Jesus Christ. And thank God for the senior saints in this room that they're not measuring it in years, they're measuring it in decades, and maybe they can't do what they used to do, but they're still sitting here as an example to all of us of what we can do and what we should be. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for the few. Thank you for the few. The many is a bigger group, and the many sometimes makes the most noise. And the many, it's easy to get focused on them. But Lord, I pray, dear God, that you just help us in quiet contemplation and in serious dedication. Just say, Lord, with your help, by the grace of God, I'm going to be with the few. I'm going to be one of the few. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you know what? You don't have to continue on that wide path to destruction. Listen, if It ends at the edge of a cliff, and you'll be plunged from the edge of that cliff into eternity, into a devil's hell. Listen, there's a better way. Be one of the few. Be one of the few. Hey, Christians, come on. Pastor, try to kind of drop the gauntlet out there. All right? You're so preoccupied with everything in the world. Got your own little agenda, chasing all kinds of things. Maybe not even sinful, bad things, but you got time for everything except God. Everything except for the work of God. Come on, youthful energy. When's the last time you knocked on a door? When's the last time you showed up to help on a bus? When's the last time you passed out a gospel tract? When's the last time you were the first to sign up to be a blessing and a help? Why don't you decide to be part of the few? And senior saints, we're going to kind of honor you here in just a bit and have some fellowship time with you. But I want to say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. May we all aspire to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.